Take your Bibles, if you would. We're going to read our text for the morning. For the last time, amen, we've been on this all year, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. All year long. Now, I don't know about you, but I am chomping at the bit to get into the Psalms, amen. The subject matter for 2015 is Psalms for the Soul. And I am so looking forward to jumping in that. I've been talking to my wife about some of the Psalms, and I've been studying some of those out, and I mean, they are just a blessing. Now, there's a psalm for every soul, for every situation, for every circumstance, for every day, for every hour. Amen. And I am so looking forward to getting into that. We're going to close out the final year and give you some final thoughts about last year's theme. And then next year, we'll get into the upcoming year's theme, which is Psalms for the Soul. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 is what we're going to read for the last time. And trust God to bless your heart and to get you prepared for the new year. Amen. Everybody at Matthew 5, 13, say amen.
Amen.
Bible should have automatically opened up to that. Amen. And read with me verse 13 through 16 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. That is not only the theme verse for our church, but it's also been the theme passage that we've studied all throughout the year. We've kind of picked this apart and looked at it from different aspects. Going to wind up the review of that, give you a challenge to shine your light in this coming year. We're going to be talking about Psalms for the soul, and you're going to go through many, many peaks and many, many valleys, and there's going to be a psalm for every situation. But through it all, the encouragement is to let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Anybody can shine when it's going as good, when you don't need a psalm for the soul, so to speak. But what about when you need that psalm for the soul? When you're not on the mountaintop, when you find yourself in the valley, maybe the valley of the shadow of death. Can we still shine? And that's what it's all about, letting our light shine. The name of our church is Shining Light Baptist Church. That should characterize what we do. It's been the heartbeat of mine since the beginning of this church that we as Christians would let our light shine, that a lost world may see. They still need to be sought and saved for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege that we've had this past year, 2014, to look at the many aspects of Matthew chapter number 5. Lord, thank you that through adversity, through storms, through many changes in life we've gone through, we have still been able to maintain and shine. Lord, others brightly, some maybe dim. Lord, we've all been able to shine in some shape, fashion, or form. Lord, as we go forward today and into 2015 for this first Sunday, help us to search our hearts, to search our minds. Lord, to recognize the way we have shown in 2014, but also realize the way you want us to shine in 2015. As we go through the different areas of life, as we look at the many faces of the Psalms, as we look at the many circumstances that the Bible characters find themselves in, Lord, may we understand as well that you know what situations that we will be in, yet and still you encourage us to let our lights so shine before men. They may see our good works and glorify you, our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, as we review these last few thoughts, and as we look at 2015, Lord, help our lights to shine brightly and brighter than they've ever shone before, because we have a God that gives us delight. We have a Savior that has given us delight. We have the Holy Spirit of God within us to illuminate within us and without of us, that others may see the power which fuels us, and that is the power from on high, the power of the Most High God, the omnipotent Creator, Jehovah God. Lord, may we say when it's all said and done here today that it's been good to be in the house of God. If there's one man, one woman, boy or girl that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never been convicted of their sin, they've never turned to repent, turned to Jesus Christ who died for their sin. Lord, help them to embrace our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ today. Help them to know the love that you have shown for them, the blood that is shed for them. Now they can be gloriously born again today. For us that are saved, have tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been born again and saved, Lord, help us to shine brightly, brighter than we've ever shined before. Thank you for meeting with us, Lord, blessing this one and only service that we have today. May we make it a good one, this first entrance into 2015, worshiping our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. We have a special this morning. Ms. Charmaine's going to sing for us. lives. Amen. How many of you know your Redeemer lives?
Amen.
Amen. If you know that he lives, say amen. Praise amen. The Lord. It is good to know that our Redeemer lives. Praise God. And, I am so anxious. You ever been so anxious about something that you kind of, you get shaky a little bit? Amen. I am so excited to get into the series of messages for this year dealing with the Psalms. I have been an avid reader of the Psalms. I enjoy the Psalms. I love the Psalms. I've studied many of the Psalms out. Many of the Psalms, I kind of put myself in the psalmist's shoes and kind of say, I know what you're talking about. Amen. Been there before, done that. Amen. And so I am so looking forward to preaching through the Psalms. And of course, I'm going to hate those times when I have to get interrupted by other messages and subject matters. But I know that happens. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so I trust that you'll be praying for me. By the way, if you've not gotten one of the 30 days to pray for your pastor and your pastor's wife. They're outside underneath the monitor there. I would encourage you to get those. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor's wife throughout this year. As I go through the Psalms, I'm sure there'll be a Psalm that will hit you in a certain way as you're going through some adversity, maybe some challenges, maybe some difficulties or whatever. But I do pray that you'll pray for us and as we pray for you and encourage you in the things of God, it might be a blessing. But today we're going to go ahead and finish this area up, and I don't know about you, but I've looked back over the last year, and I look at the times when I shone brightly, and I'm proud of the times when I shone brightly, and I made my God look good, and did some things for the glory of God. But then I'm reminded of some of the times when I didn't shine as brightly as I could have, or I didn't say some of the things that I could have or should have, or I didn't do some of the things that maybe I should have or could have, and I'm not so proud about those. But, I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers all of our sin and our unfaithfulness. And so we're going to turn a few scriptures here in the beginning, and then we'll go ahead and finish up in this area. Notice what Jesus says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." That's been our theme all year as we talk about shining God's light all of our might. We started, first of all, in John chapter 6. And so turn over to John chapter 6, get us caught up where we're at. John chapter 6, the first subject matter that we looked at the beginning of the year was shining God's light with all of our might. Well, the going away view. And in John chapter 6, Jesus had fed the crowds, and the crowds were desirous to follow him for what they could get. And when he began to challenge them with the word of God, some of them kind of fell away. You know how it is when you get some people that want to hang around you for a certain reason, but they have an ulterior motive. It's just to get what they can get, And then when you challenge them about faithfulness or challenge them about sticking it out or challenge them about doing something, they kind of say, well, I hadn't bargained for that. I'm just trying to get what I could get. Amen. When you go, how many of y'all have been with these salesmen that will say you can have such and such? And then you go to sit down to get such and such. And they say, now, first of all, you got to listen to this spiel. And you think, well, I'm not really ready for this spiel. But we want the free stuff, don't we?
Yes, sir. That's what we do.
Amen. We went out to North Dakota, and our brother Bruner's mom told us, we went out to Brad's wedding, stopped off in South Dakota. And she said, well, you can stay at this cabin for free for two nights.
Wow.
And, free always perks the pastor's ear up.
Pastor, amen.
And I said, for free, right down the street from Mount Rushmore.
Wow.
I said, for free?
For free.
And then Brother Steve chimed in and said, but you got to listen to it hour and a half spiel. I said, oh, great. I want to go down on vacation and see Mount Rushmore and see the faces. I don't want to sit in for a spiel. But I looked at the price of hotels, preacher. I think I could sit for an hour and a half, amen, when I looked at the price of the hotel by Mount Rushmore. I said, I think I could sit for an hour and a half. What happened? There was something for free, but it was going to cost me an hour and a half of my time. And John chapter 6, Jesus said, I got something that's free, but it's going to cost you something. And when they looked at what they wanted, all they wanted was the food, they said, what you have to give us, we really don't want that. And so they all left. And so Jesus looked at his 12 and he asked the question, will ye also go away?
Are you just in it for the free stuff like this crowd here? Do you just want to see what you can get and you don't want to put anything in the pot? You don't want to listen and you don't want to follow? I called you 12. How about you? And so the beginning of the year started off with, will ye also go away? Shining God's light with a going away view. Will you look at what God has to offer, but then go away? And we made it more personal. We said, you can go away and still be here. And that's what we talked about, going away in your mind and your mentality, your methods. Physically being here, but spiritually going away. Because basically that's what happens. We sit and we hear, but we really don't hear because we're really not here because we're actually somewhere else. Some of y'all already thinking about Dallas Cowboys and who they playing, Dallas and not the Patriots. Lions. Some of y'all, Mark's a Lions fan, so I'm sure he's thinking about that. Probably not much. He's newlywed now, so amen. I'm definitely not thinking about it because Chicago can't be found. Fired their coach, so I'm here. I'm all in, amen. Now, if they were in the playoffs, half of me may be trying to, okay, Lord, you got to help them to win, amen. You know, it's been hard times since we won a championship, 1985 to be exact, oh, Lord. Amen. You feel my pain, amen. And so Jesus said, hey, look, will you also go away? And notice what he says down there in verse number 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear? Jesus said, look, you need to receive me. They said, well wait a minute. We can't understand that. We can't accept that. Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? The going away view. Peter said the right thing, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Peter said the right things. And I challenged us earlier on in the year that if we're going to shine God's light with all of our might, without having this going away view, we've got to look at what Peter said. And although Peter said the right things, the same Peter denied Jesus Christ when he needed him most. The same Peter said, I go a fishing, and took 8 disciples with him. And we asked, how many people have you took with you lately going away? How many people have you took fishing with you? How many people have you took when you denied Christ? Because we've got to really consider that. And so Jesus said, will ye also go away? And that was the going away view. And I said that was going to be the first and the most important message, because the rest of the messages would fall on deaf ears if you're actually here, but not here. If you hear, but you don't hear, because you've went away. The second message came out of Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, we began talking about going, not just a going away view, but a ministerial view. Hebrews chapter 6. Encouraging us that God has seen and God knows and understands what we're going through when it comes to our work. Verse number 9 of chapter 6. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. After comparing them and saying they ought to go on for Christ in chapter number 6, the writer of Hebrews says, we're persuaded better things of you that are saved. In verse 10, he encourages them, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which he has showed toward his name. We're starting to challenge our children more. We give... ask them to give praises at the end of the night. And what can you praise God for? Now we're asking them, what work did you do today for God? And what labor of love did you accomplish for Christ today? Because work is something that we do for God. We expect to get paid back for it. We say, hey, look, I'm out soul winning, Lord, and I expect to see a soul to come to know you as their Savior sometime this year, because I'm soul winning. I expect, as this work is done, I expect to see something. Amen. Labor of love is something totally different. Labor of love is just something I do out of gratitude for my God. I love you, Lord, and so I'm going to sing. I love you, Lord, and so I'm going to lift my hands in praise. I love you, Lord, so I'm just going to give you the thanks for waking me up today, because I love you. I don't expect to get paid back for a labor of love. I just do that because I love God. Yes, sir. And so I challenge my children, what did you work for today? And what do you expect to see? What's your labor of love that you did for God, that you just love them, and so you're just doing this because you love God? By the way, you know, reading your Bible is a labor of love.
Yes, sir, it is.
You love God, and so you want to know more about him.
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all got a love letter from your sweetheart? Come on now, more of y'all. I know more of y'all got letters from your sweetheart, amen. You have a labor of love. What's the labor, preacher? I got to actually read it.
Yes, sir, you do, Pastor.
I got to actually make my mind think. Not like watching cartoons. I've got to actually read this. It's a labor, but it's a labor of love because you love the one and who wrote it. And because you love the one who wrote it, you read that thing, you say, oh, my soul. That's what they think about me. Hey, when you read the Bible, it's a labor of love. You read thinking, man, God loves me that much. He cares about me that much. Because we know how wretched we really are. When I receive some of the love letters from my wife, I think, man, she don't know me very well, does she? She says all these great platitudes about me and give me all these accolades, but I know me. I wouldn't write that about me. I would say, you wretch, look at you, snake in the grass, sinner, wicked. But she writes, you're so lovely, you're this, you're that. Yes, yes. I am, aren't I? What is that? It's a labor of love. Hey, as you read your Bible this year, it's a labor of love. You're reading because you love the one who wrote it because he's writing about you. By the way, he's writing about me. Best part about it, he's revealing himself to you as to who he is and what he wants to do for you. As you read this year, think about it. It's not work. For some of you, it might be work. Amen. I'm reading this hoping to get some out of it. Amen. Hoping to get the promises out of it. The promises. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. What's the word? Believe on him whom he sent. But the labor of love says, you know, I'm going to read this just because I love God. I want to know more about him. I want to see what he wants me to do in 2015. What does he want from my life? By the way, God wants something from your life in 2015 if you hadn't discovered it already. So, preacher, what does he want? You got to get in the Word and see. You have to work and have a labor of love to get in the Word of God to actually see what he wants. How are you going to figure out what your boss wants for you? You need to go to work and find out. And when you go to work, guess what? He'll say, this is what I want you to do. Hey, to find out what God wants in 2015, hey, you've got to get into the Word of God. And so he writes here, it says, a ministerial view. God's timeliness is in question. Our productiveness is in question. Our faithfulness and our steadfastness. He says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name and that you've ministered and do minister to the saints. It's a work that we do. Then we came back over to Matthew chapter number 5. So go Matthew chapter 5, if you would. We started with going away view and then a ministerial view, but then an individual view. Matthew chapter 5, he said down there in verse number 14, ye are the light. And we looked at this individual view, how God created us personally and individually, made us uniquely and purposefully. He says, ye are the light. You're to illuminate. You're to shine for people. And not just are you the light, an individual view, but a world view. Notice the rest of that verse. You have the light of the world. We saw he wants us to have a global view. Personal, but also global. And if we're to continue our faith promise, we have to keep giving, keep praying, keep going. We're almost at $6,000, and that's just with 1 month. By the way, if you promise to give, then give. We've got $89,000 that we have to raise this year. We have more missions projects that we want to take on. Our brother DeVar Williams came back and found out that we're at $89,000. He came back. He said, does that mean y'all can take me on earlier? Uh-huh. Yes, it does, if everybody gives.
Amen.
Hey, we have a young lady going to Hungary, Stephanie. Hey, I want us to give towards that. We already put a deposit on the trip. Amen. I want to go. She already surrendered years ago to go to Hungary. Guess what? Through Brad's college, she found out a connection. They got a group going to Hungary.
Wow.
And guess what? We're going to get behind her and support her in going. And everybody's going to get a chance to give.
Yes, sir, we are, Pastor.
Why? Ye are the light of the world.
Amen.
Our light's not just for Tucson.
That's right.
Hungarians need to hear the word of God too. They need to get saved. Hey, you never know. Stephanie Bay going over there, and there's already a Macedonian call or Hungarian call. Come over and help us into Hungary. And she may stumble across that one little gal, or that one little boy, or that one man, or that one woman who will only receive the gospel from her. And God has placed her with her smile and her personality for the right time with an individual view of her life to give the gospel to that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. They may get saved. That may be the only reason that she goes to Hungary is to get one soul saved, but one soul's worth it. Because God sent somebody to you. He sent one little old light to you to give you the gospel. Whether that light was your daddy or your mama or your sister or your brother, your Sunday school teacher or your preacher, he sent one light to you. And that could be the one light that she's going to be to somebody. And so he says, ye are the lights. Yeah, there's an individual view, but he said, you're a light of the world. There's a global view here. There's souls at stake, and so we ought to be praying for those that have gone, preparing to go ourselves. Here am I, Lord, send me. Passing out the gospel. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and giving our faith promise when we cannot go. But then he didn't stop there. Not only the shining God's light with our might, all of our might, with a going away view, a ministerial view, an individual view, and a world view. Or a global view, but a clear view. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A clear view. Imagine the city sitting off to the side. One of the things that my son G2 likes to look at after a rainy day when it's cold, he likes to look at the mountains, see if he can see some snow up there. That is some snow up there. And my first answer is, let it stay up there. Let it snow, just up there. When it comes, I say, let it go. How many of y'all saw the snow New Year's Eve? I know some of you were here, actually saw the snow. G2 looked out the window and said, Daddy, it's snowing. And we had some fireworks, so we're going to do some fireworks. I thought, man, God, you put a damper on my fireworks. It's wet, and I can't do fireworks in the wet. And so we went underneath the back of the patio to do fireworks. And so I'm doing fireworks. Guess what the kids were doing? They're playing in the snow. They could care less about fireworks. They could care less about stuff shooting up in the air. They had fun rolling around in the snow. They said, look, we saw that on 4th of July. We saw that last year. We didn't see this snow in a long time. So they could care less. I'm out there all by myself. Wow, whoopee. Look, kids, they're like, yeah, okay, getting back to the snow. Sheer light. So look at what this one did. Oh, that's a dud, Dad. They come back over there. I'm like, they say, can we do that tomorrow? The snow may not be here. They're more interested in the snow, amen. What do I say? Up on the mountaintop, you can see the snow up there. You can see the lights up there. And when it's nighttime, you can see the red lights blinking from the satellite towers that are up there. And it's all there. And so he says, a city, he said, Christian, you're like salt, you're like light. He said, you're like a city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. And we looked at a city populated with people. Hey, by the way, have you ever thought about we're all over Tucson? Oh, yeah. How many of y'all live in Vail? How many live in Sal Rita? How many live in South Tucson? How many live in East Tucson? How many on North Tucson? How many in Marana? Nobody's up in Marana? Amen. How many downtown? Got a couple. Amen. By the way, we're all over town. The same way Jesus said a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, the equivalent to that, he says, we're a populated people. We're everywhere. A city is elevated for people to see. Hey, there's a difference between a city that's on a hill and a city in a valley. Can we see a city in the valley from here? No.
No, we can't.
Why? It's down below. But a city set on a hill, he said, that's what the Christian is. They're a city set on display. They're out there so people can see it. We're populated all over the place. People can see you. There's a clear view shot. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And he says, you are lights. And you're like a city that's set up on a hill. You can't be hid. By the way, Christian, even if you try to be hid, you can't be hid. Even if you deny Christ, like Peter did. You can't be hid. The little man came up there and said, weren't you with him? No, I don't know the man. Weren't you with him? Your speech betrayeth you. I know you were with him. Till he started cursing and swearing. They still never said, no, you're not one of him. They still never said that. Why? Everything about him pointed to that he knew Christ. Hey, everything about you points to the fact that you know Christ. Now, you may try and camouflage it. You may try to let your hair down and change your clothes and do this and do that and make your speech cool and walk hip, drop your pants down, amen, show your underwears, amen. You're still a Christian. You're still bought with the blood. You cannot deny it. You're not like everybody else. You're not like the world. You're different. You're peculiar people. I don't care how you try to hide it. You can't be hid. You can try to camouflage yourself like a chameleon all you want to. You can change your colors. The God of heaven still knows you belong to him, and the demons also know it. They know it. And you'll be found out. Jesus said, don't even try to hide. A city that's set on a hill, they can't be hid. And we talked about how we have to have a clear view as a Christian. And the only thing that blocks that view of those mountains up there are clouds. One thing that blocks your view is sin. Sin. By the way, is the light still blinking when the clouds are here? Yes. The clouds just covered. Sin will mar your testimony. It will blur your testimony. It will cloud your testimony. People won't be able to see that you're saved. But guess what? The God of heaven knows you're saved. The demons still know you're saved. You know what demons say? Got another one out the picture. Got another one that's dark and dingy and dirty, blurry. People can't tell they're Christian. They won't lead anybody to Christ this year. Let me ask you a sobering question. How many people did you lead to Christ last year? Is it because your testimony is blurred? Cloudy? Because he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And if my light's hid and if people can't see Christ in me, then there's a problem with that. Because he said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, ye are the light of the world. He said, hey, look, you've got to be an illumination. People need to see me in you. Because they're not going to read about me. They're not going to go to church. They're not going to pick up their Bibles. By the way, in 2015, we are one of the most godless nations now. We've been eclipsed by some of the other nations already in spirituality. And we have more Bibles than most nations. We have more people that call themselves Christians in our nation. And we're being eclipsed. You ever wonder why the United States is not really mentioned in the book of Revelation as a superpower? Probably because we won't be. You look at some of the nations that have been superpowers, Greece, Rome, where they've gone, up and down, England, France, up, down, up, down, up, down, Babylon, Syria, Iran, Iraq, all these nations, China, up, down, up, down. It's a wonder. We're in a bad shape. I was studying out Psalm 2. It is so filled with prophecy. It is so filled. Psalm 2 is just a blessing. When you get to that, he talks about the kingdoms of this world have basically rejected God. That means that all nations had to collectively get together and say, we don't want God. That means there had to be United Nations that say, we don't want God. And they say, God's up in the heavens. He laughs at them. And toward the end of the psalm, Mrs. Dawson just taught it to the ladies at Christmas banquet. It says, kiss the sun, lest you feel his wrath. In other words, saying you better submit, because if you don't, there's only one other thing. Submit or subjugation. You'll submit or he's going to put his foot on you. Folks say, that's mean, that's cruel to a nation and to a world that rejects God. I don't think so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's done everything he can. He said, you better kiss the son now while you can. Because there's going to come a time when you can't kiss the son at all. It's amazing where we're at. What am I saying? A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. It's populated with people. It's elevated for people to see. A city is illuminated. And so I mentioned that we've got to watch our words and watch our ways. And when we are seen the most in our dark days and our dark times and our dark situations and the dark sins of others towards us, you can see the lights on the mountains at night. You can't see the lights during the daytime. Anybody can shine during the light. Anybody can look good during the night.
Yes, Pastor.
But it's in the dark times of your life. It's in the dark times of my life. It's when things all around you seem shaky. I was studying Psalm 3. And David said, how are they increased that trouble me? Many would say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. He said, I don't care what people say. I got the God of heaven. And although I may be going through some dark times, they still going to see the light in my life. Lord, you are a shield for me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. By the way, the psalm was written when Absalom was trying to overthrow David. Can you imagine your own child trying to overthrow you to take your place? Can you imagine? If your own child, ladies, your own daughter trying to overthrow your place as mother to take your spot? Or your son, men, trying to take your place as father and say, out of my way, I'll be the father around here. That's pretty much what David did. I'll be in charge. You know how he did it, Pastor White? He didn't get the older generation with David. They was loyal. He got the younger generation that was with him. He got the ones that was his age, Deontay. Ones that was on his level. Got those young folks' mind. And said, oh, the king's too busy to listen to you, but I'll listen to you. And the Bible says he stole the hearts of the people. He didn't go mess with Joab. He didn't go mess with Benaiah and some of the others. He got the people that came up with him. And those people that would listen to him. And he stole their hearts. And that's the crowd that he used to try to overthrow his father. Can you imagine that? Your own child trying to overthrow you. But see, he didn't read the end of the story, Pastor White. He didn't read the part where God said, I've given my son David the throne. He didn't say nothing about Absalom. He said he gave it to David. He said, I found me a man after my own heart. Oh, yes, David slipped and slid. Oh, yes, he sinned. But he got his heart right with God, and he sinned. And I can just bet that Absalom probably thought, well, you know, you messed up with my brother Amnon over there. And when he defiled my sister, you didn't do anything about it. Oh, you had this affair with Bathsheba. And so I got every right to defy you. You never have a right to defy your parent. I don't care what your parent do. You never have a right to defy your parent. Amen. What am I saying? A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And so everybody else can have this dark time, but you and I have got to shine. Because Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so we looked at a clear view. Then we also looked at shining God's light with all of our might with a household view. Notice verse 15, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. Now, Jesus is giving illustrations here. He says, you're salt in verse 13. He says in verse 14, you're light. Then verse 15, he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Give you another illustration, but on a candlestick. And you give light unto all that are in the house. He says, you are like the person lighting a candle in the house. And you don't light the candle in the house to put it under a bushel. That's counterproductive. He said, you put it on a candlestick, gives light to all that are in the house. And we looked at the household view, how you and I have to demonstrate some of the Beatitudes in our houses before actually trying to export them out. And by the way, these attitudes will be seen in our dealings with others. Notice verse 3. He gives you the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we talked about the humbleness in the house that was necessary. And these are inward heart attitudes. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn. Again, an inward attitude, the brokenness that's in the house. Verse 3, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, an inward attitude. We're humble before God. We're broken before God, according to verse 4. And we're meek before the Lord in verse 5. Why? Everything that we have, God has given us.
Amen.
And we came to God poor in spirit. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a thing. We had sin. That's like a beggar coming to you and saying, I got something for you. What's a beggar going to give you in tattered clothes? Nothing. But guess what? As beggars, we said, Lord, you're God of heaven. I don't have anything to give you. You have everything I need from you. And that's why he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. We've got to have a humble spirit, a broken spirit, a meek spirit. In verse 4, righteousness in the house. He says down there, blessed are they, verse 6, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, an inward attitude that we need to have in our homes, having these inward attitudes of righteousness and a thirst for righteousness. And by the way, ask this question, how much righteousness did you yearn to see in 2014? How much righteousness did you yearn to see? Did you want God's will done in your life? And did you want God's will done in other people's lives? There's a righteousness. Inward attitudes. I want to see right done. I want to see God's righteousness fulfilled. By the way, even if it makes you look bad, yes, even makes me look bad. Even makes me look bad. But then he had the outward actions of the inward heart attitude. The next verse, pureness. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Again, peacemakers. These are outward actions of this inward heart's attitude. I'll be pure in heart. I'll want to be peaceful with others. And then we looked at that last one that we don't like, the acceptance of adversity. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Took him 3 verses for this one. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Where every other attitude took one verse. Verse 3, blessed are the poor. Verse 4, blessed are they which mourn, that mourn. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Verse 10, 11, and 12 takes 3 verses to talk about the acceptance that you and I have to have when it comes to being persecuted, because if we're going to be light, we cannot lash out. We cannot retaliate. We cannot do evil for evil. We cannot render man's evil for evil. Because you will be persecuted if you stand for God. I don't like it any more than you. But God says, turn the other cheek. God says, they'll take your coat. Give it up. If they want you to go 1 mile, go 2. I'm no more spiritual than you are. I don't like that. But guess what? I have to accept it. I have to accept it. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, don't worry about it now. Shine your light now. You get your reward later. Hallelujah. Praise God. At least I get my reward. At least I got something coming. Lord, it's not all for naught. I don't have to be this way and just say, man, I've been abused all my life and I've got nothing to show for it. He says, you got a reward in heaven. He said, look up. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He says, you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful child. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. He said, look at the prophets. They persecute the prophets. I was pleased with them. He said, look at my son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Look what they did to my son. They did that to my son, and he's the light of the world. And you're the light. What do you think they're going to do to you? He said, accept it. Accept it. Accept it. Shining God's light with all our might with a household view. Again, I don't like it any more than you, but I know that those beatitudes have to be in my life, and it's got to be an inward heart attitude. First of all, I've got to see that I need them, but then an outward action, I've got to do that toward others so that when I'm abused and taken advantage of, I don't do evil for evil or don't let my light go out. Amen. By the way, it takes fuel for light. My children got a lot of toys for Christmas. Guess what? Each one took a battery. I told my wife, we ought to have stock in the battery company. Everything got a battery these days. My cell phone's got a battery. My light's got a battery. Everything's got a battery. Pastor White went to go get in my car yesterday. The battery was dead. Amen. Everything's got a battery.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my word.
I thought, I'm glad I started you up today and not on Sunday morning.
Praise the Lord,
Pastor. Got a chance to jump that thing yesterday.
Your
source of light, or your source of fuel, is going to come from the battery of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word of God every day. Let the Spirit of God use it and then apply it to your life.
Praise the Lord.
Doesn't mean no good to have a good flashlight and good batteries if I don't put the batteries in the flashlight and turn it on. People have a good Bible. Great Bible, a great God, a great Holy Spirit of God, and does him no good to let it sit there and not do anything with it. You've got to get in the book and say, what does it say? And then go do what it tells you to do. Friend, then you will have a light. If you stay away from this book every day and you don't have the fuel that comes from it, you don't have the Spirit of God working in you, you won't have any light in 2015. But I had some in 2014. You can't live off of yesterday's gas. You try filling your car once a week and see what happens. Even if it is $1.99. It's cheaper than it's ever been, amen. But guess what? When you run out of gas and you go back to the store, it may be a little bit more expensive. You need fuel for every day. How many of y'all eat once a week? I rest my case. Pastor, we would be famished. Spiritually speaking, you should be famished. When you don't get in the Word of God, you say, oh, what's the matter? I didn't get in the Bible yet. Why do you feel that way? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things should be added unto you. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You should go through dry heaves when you don't get the word of God. I mean, something should happen to you. But you got people that can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, living off the preacher's sermon. You can't live off the preacher's sermon. I'm giving you just a sample. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. You need to go back and get in the book. Hey, I've been going through these Psalms. I want to preach them all in one day. I mean, if I could preach them, I'm like, trying to, okay, Lord, I can only do two verses on this day. I can only do two verses on this day. I'm like, I want to do it all. Why? It's so good to me. When a preacher preaches, y'all only get that much of what he got. Mrs. Dawson gives the ladies' meetings, you only get that much of what she got. When anybody gives the word of God, you only got that much of what they got. Why? You just can't give it all. But you want to. What am I saying? You should have that type of a desire for these beatitudes in your life. And so when these persecutions, when this adversity comes, when 10, 11, and 12 comes in your life, you can be the salt that he's talking about in verse 13. You can be the light that he's talking about down there. You don't have your candle under a bushel like he's talking about in verse 15. And then come up to verse 16. You can let your light so shine. We end it with a manward view. Shining God's light with all of our might with a manward view. He says, let your light so shine before men. Our light's illumination is considered. He says, it's an allowance. Let your light so shine. But it has an audience. He said, let it shine before men. By the way, when you look at your light, you don't have to force it to shine. You ever thought about a flashlight when you turn it on? You don't have to force it to shine. When you flick the light switch back there, you don't have to force it to shine.
That's right.
When you turn your headlights on, you don't have to force them to shine.
That's right.
Now, you know what you have to force them to do sometimes? Man, it's so bright. When I painted the auditorium white in here, folks said, it's so bright in here. Like Count Dracula with the light. Oh, no. You have to calm the light down sometimes. When your light is shining brightly, sometimes, like Moses, you had to put a veil over it. Because you just blaze somebody up. Carnal Christians and unsaved people, you will blaze them. You will burn them down with your full blazing glory. God had to tell Moses, you can't see my face and live. He says, you see me, I will consume you. Your flesh. Moses came down from the mountain. Brother Gary, people were afraid of him. Because his face shone, the Bible says. He glowed like he had been around a radiation or something. Ooh, glowing. And the folks were kind of like, what happened? It was bad enough that they told Moses, Moses, don't let God speak to us. No, you speak to us. Now Moses came down to bidding with God. And they said, we don't want you either. So now you don't want God. You don't want God's messenger. What do you want? They said, cover up your face. You're too much for us. When you let your light shine, sometimes it can be a bit much for people. You ever been witnessing at your job and people kind of like start going through convulsions? Just talking about all this God stuff, all this spirituality stuff. Oh, they start going through tizzies. And they just kind of start getting bewildered. Oh, you just have to back off a little bit because they start getting just overwhelmed by the glory of God. And you got to tone it down, son. He said, let your light so shine. A man would view before men they may see your good works. It's an allowance. It has an audience. It's before men. But it's not just our light's illumination. He said our light's operation, that they may see your good works. That's what it's there for. And I mentioned this. Good works don't produce godliness. You can work all day in the church. Do you know there are churches going on all around the world right now? And a lot of good works going on, but not a lot of Christ works going on. There's a lot of good works going on, but not a lot of godly works going on. So you can do a lot of work. I mean, hey, you can usher, you can teach, you can play piano, you can sing up here, you can lead singing, you can preach the Bible, you can teach children, you can do a lot of good works, but if it's not for God, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it does no good for God. Woo, but they sound good. And your point is? They're glorifying themselves and man, but God's not getting any praise in that at all. God's not getting any glory. What's your motive? Why do you do what you do? Is it for God's glory? Is it for the praise of people? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Or are you filled with the spirit of emotion and the spirit of self? Now, I'm not saying emotion has no place in what we do because there should be passion in what we do. But is the passion based upon the purpose of God? Is it to glorify God? Or is it to bring attention to yourself? Hey, when I get up to preach, I'm not trying to bring attention to myself. I could care less whether I wax eloquent. I want to make sure that my God is glorified and my God is being represented. And I must say that sometimes I don't do that the way I ought to. And that's why I need your prayers. I'm not the man that I need to be. And I realize that. But I'm not trying to please man. Never had, never will be. That's why I'm not afraid to say the hard things. I don't like saying hard things because I'm just like you. I like to be liked too. Come on now, let's face it. We all like to be liked. I like to be liked too, but guess what? God didn't call me to be liked. He called me to be the leader. Sometimes you may not like the leader because of the way the leader leads. But guess what? God still called me to be the leader. I'm sure Moses didn't like to say everything he said. I'm sure Joshua didn't like to say everything he said. I'm sure on and on, you don't like to say things you got to say to your children. But guess what? You got to say it just the same. Why? God called you to be a leader. Why? If we're going to glorify God, it's got to be because we're doing it for God's sake. Notice what he says, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. But notice this, your good works cause them to do what? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. My motivation should be that people say, how good God is. How good my God is. How great my God is. How wonderful my God is. How marvelous my God is. Not how good the preacher is. Not how good I sing. Not how good I teach. Not how good I play. Not how good I lead. Not how good I do this. It's how good my God is. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The ultimate goal is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear well done. Well done. As we reflect back on this year, shining God's light with a going away view. We also go away with a ministerial view. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. With the individual view, ye are the light. With a world view, you're the light of the world. With a clear view, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. With a household view, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And with a manward view, let your light so shine before men. If you can't say, God, I did my best. It's time to say, God, And 2015, help me do better.
Amen.
2014 is gone.
Yes, sir, it is.
The way you shone is the way you shone. The rewards that you stored up in heaven are stored up in heaven. The works that are going to be burned because they weren't for the glory of God are burned. There's nothing to do to replay yesterday. There's a whole lot I can do to prepare for tomorrow. There's a whole lot I can do for today. I can come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, this is the first Sunday in 2015. I want it to just get better and better and better and better. As we look at the Psalms, Lord, I want to let my light shine. I'm going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to have those dark times. I'm going to have my Absaloms. I'm going to have my Doegs. I'm going to have these times of betrayal. I'm going to have up times. But Lord, let me shine. Let me shine that they can see your good works. I want to be consistent. I want to be faithful. I want them to glorify you. I want to seek and save people. I want to see them saved. I want to see them born again. Lord, you left me here to be a witness, to be a light, to be salt. Lord, use me more and more in 2015. Lord, use me. Use me passionately. Lord, use me personally. Lord, use me globally. Lord, use me locally most of all. You know, there are people that need to be saved in Hungary. We understand that. That people need to be saved in New Mexico. We know that. But that people need to be saved right here. Locally. At your jobs. At your schools. In your communities. Where you go. Where you frequent. Who you talk to. People need to be saved. I just talked to my neighbor yesterday. I'm trying to win him this year. I am so trying to win him this year. And he was outside smoking his cigarette like he always does, Pastor White. And I said, you got any New Year's resolutions? He said, man, I'm trying to kick these cancer sticks, man. I'm trying to get rid of these things, man. And I said, you know what? I used to smoke. He did a double take. He said, you? I said, man, I wasn't always saved. I said, I struggled with it just like you. Yeah, man, I'm going to quit. I'm going to give it up. I just got to find out what I need to do. And everything in me wanted to tell him what he needed to do.
Amen, Pastor.
I said, what you think you're going to do? He said, I don't know. I don't know. And everything in me wanted to say, seize the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
I said, well, you know, I used to smoke. I said, and I was able to quit.
Amen.
Really? I said, yeah. And I was waiting for him to say, what'd you do? And I was going to jump all on it.
Amen, Pastor.
And he didn't.
Amen, Pastor.
He knew what I was going to say. That's why he didn't ask. He knows I'm the pastor of the church.
Amen.
And I said, well, you know, I tried this and I tried that and I tried that. I said, did you try that? No, man, I ain't tried that yet. I said, well, you know, I said, I told you I used to smoke. And I said, I did quit. I said, let me tell you how I quit. And because he didn't ask, I told him. I didn't pressure him. I said, this is what I did. I didn't say this is what you need to do. I said, let me tell you what happened to me. I did like the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you, I was on the road to Damascus. I didn't put the monkey on his back. I just asked him, you had a resolution. He said, I'm going to try to quit these things. And I said, what you going to do? He said, I don't know. I said, well, let me tell you what I did. And I left him with that. I said, I'll be seeing you. He lived right next door to me. Of course he's going to see me. He's outside smoking all the time. G2 and Joshua, they all see him. Sometimes his britches are hanging down. Sometimes they pulled up. My job is not to pull his britches up. My job is not to make him stop smoking. My job is to give him the light. My job is to give him Jesus Christ. My job is not to remake him or to change him over, to change anything about him. My job is to give him Jesus. My job is not to give him this church. This church can't save him. My job is to give him Jesus, Master of the universe. The calmer of the seas, the quitter of the habits, the one who can save his soul. And I left him with this. I said, just remember. I said, them cigarettes not going to send you to hell. I said, rejecting Christ is. I left him with that. I said, cigarettes ain't going to send you to hell. I said, I know a lot of people tell you they will. I said, they won't. I said, rejecting Christ, that'll send you to hell. He gave me that. Like, I know. I know you know. You can't live next to me and not know. Especially as much as I see you. My heart of hearts is to win him to Christ this year. I so want to see him saved. Say, preacher, why? Because God loves him. And I was just like him. I was just like him. February 2nd, 1991, I was just like him. And somebody had to have enough courage and enough guts to shine their light around me and say, you know what, son, you don't have to live like that. You know what, son, you don't have to be like that. You know what, son, somebody loves you. You don't have to go through that. God's not asking you to do this and do that. God's just asking you to accept his son. Or Mr. Dawson, as you say, kiss the son. Submit to him. And I am so glad that person didn't give up on me. So I'm not going to give up on my neighbor. Now, he might not get saved in 2015, but it ain't going to be because I quit on him. He might quit them cigarettes. Guess what? I'm still not going to give up on him. Quitting cigarettes ain't going to get you to heaven. He may quit every filthy habit he has and turn over a new leaf. That's not going to save him. He needs my Jesus. He needs my light. And I'm going to do everything in my power to give it to him. You know, I hope in this 2015 you're looking at maybe someone God has laid upon your heart that you want to see saved. Don't quit on them. You may have to employ the Beatitudes on them. You may have to be salt to them. But ultimately, you're going to be light. You say, preacher, why am I going to be light? Because Jesus said, ye are the light. The question is, are you going to be the light that will cause them to see Christ? Or will you be the dark light that to you is light, but it's darkness? It's not light. And Jesus said, behold how great that darkness is. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be born again today. You need to be saved today. You are the one whom Jesus Christ is waiting for. You could be the first soul saved in 2015 at Shining Light Baptist Church. Wouldn't that be great? The first one saved in 2015 at Shining Light Baptist Church. Maybe you've never come to the place where you've repented of your sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Not believe in, that's factual. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Not believe in, believe on. Say, preacher, aren't they one and the same? No. Believing in is factual. Living on is trusting. They're two totally different things. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and we're looking around. I'm going to say, preacher, I've never received Christ as my Savior. I think I'm saved. I think if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'm not sure. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that all around this room? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're looking around. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. I see two. You may put that one down. Anyone else? Join these two. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me, preacher. I'm concerned. I see three hands have gone up. Please don't leave. I see a fourth hand. Don't leave today before getting that settled. You know, the invitation is going to start in just a minute. All you have to do is come from where you are and come to me and say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you get someone to show me how I can be saved? If you're a man, we'll get a man to help you. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman to show you. But don't leave today before you get that settled. I saw four hands. Is there another? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. One looking around. Is there another one? Join these four. When the invitation starts, why don't you do this? Don't wait. Come right down here and say, preacher, can you get someone to help me? I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to be positive I'm saved. I don't want to leave here without that happening. Father, bless now this invitation time. Christians need to shine in 2015. There are some here that raised their hands saying that they're not sure that heaven will be their home. God, give them the courage, give them the boldness and the confidence to come and let you deal with their hearts. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. As the music plays, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you raised your hand, so you're not sure. Would you come? Let's take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Would you come? Say, preacher, I need to be saved. But not right now, I'm not sure. I'd go to heaven. 2015 has just started. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Do men see your light? Do they see your good works? Do they glorify your Father in heaven? You raise your hands and I'm not sure. I'm here. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? There's room for you. The preacher, I'm not sure about that and go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you come? Would you come? How about it?
Should we tarry when Jesus
2015 is here. Preacher, I'm not sure. I shown the way I needed to in 2015. Give it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I want to shine more in 2015. Tell it to Jesus. Song for the soul. Looking forward to it. Starts off with a blessed man. Blessed is the man. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. You want to be the blessed man in 2015? Tell it to Jesus. You don't want to be the ungodly man. The Bible has terrible things to say about him. How about it? Would you like to be saved? One has already come. How about you? Come home. Come home softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. How about it? Ye are weary. Come home. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel or on a candlestick. Give a light unto all that are in the house. Would you come? Father, thank you for being a gracious God. Lord, thank you for sustaining us in 2015 and Lord, I'm reminded of going all the way back to 2013, how you graciously saved Isadora because you called her home in 2014. Amen. Lord, there may be some standing here today that you may call them home in 2015. Lord, I pray every count has been settled in their life and they have done business with the God of heaven. They've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Lord, they are building up fruits by their works. Lord, they will be able to say and hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to let our light so shine before men, they truly may see our good works and glorify you. Everything about us, Lord, we want that light to shine. We want to be that salt. Lord, we want to be not hid. We want to make sure it's not under a bushel. We want to have the Beatitudes in our lives. Lord, help us as we go forward now into 2015, looking at the Psalms for our souls, looking at those biblical characters that have gone through treachery, betrayal, ecstasy, and sorrow. So many emotions that will be there. But God, through it all, help us to see ourselves and what you would have us to do for the kingdom of God's sake. I thank you for loving us, those Christians that desire to shine. Would you shine through them, Lord Jesus? Give them the proper amount of fuel they'll need from the Spirit of God and the Word of God that they can shine for the glory of God greater in 2015. Thank you in Jesus' name.